here's a story from The World.
I hate to bring up school on a summery mid-July day, but across the globe, there is a lot of anticipation about what classrooms will look like come fall. In East Africa, in Sudan, there's not just pandemic uncertainty, there's also uncertainty about what students will be learning. That's because a major effort to reform the Sudanese education system has sparked controversy. Some see proposed changes as an attempt to remove religion from school curricula. Here's the World's Africa correspondent, Halima Gikandi, with the second part in our series about religion and nationalism in Sudan.
In a widely circulated video from earlier this year, a Sudanese imam named Muhammad Al-Amin Ismail gives an emotional sermon during the Friday prayers. He holds up a sixth-grade history textbook and turns to a page on the European Renaissance. There is a picture of the creation of Adam, the famous painting by Michelangelo. They justify the depiction of God in human form, decries Imam Ismail. For conservative Muslims, that is prohibited. The imam begins to cry, and so do worshippers in the mosque. Close the schools and cancel all the classes, says Imam Ismail. He went on to blast the government official he said was responsible for this offensive content. That was Sudan's new director of the National Center for Curriculum and Educational Research, Omar Al-Garai. I spoke with him at his office in Khartoum.
The Muslim Brotherhood, which are supporters of the overthrown regime, they always, whenever they have any problem, they go to the mosques.
Garai's been at odds with conservative Islamists since his school days. Under the dictatorship of Omar al-Bashir, he fled abroad to the U.S. and only recently came back during the uprising of 2019. When Bashir was ousted from power, Garai accepted a government job to reform Sudan's school curriculum with one goal in mind.
To purify the curriculum from all negative ideas, negative Islamic ideas.
And to modernize Sudan's education system. Garai says the Bashir regime destroyed it by imposing strict religious ideology on the curriculum. Mohamed Al-Amin El-Toum agrees. He was the first minister of education in Sudan after the revolution. He says the school curriculum needs to reflect the values of the uprising, freedom and equality.
We wanted a curriculum that would help liberate their minds, you know, show them that there are others, there are other cultures, there are other perspectives, but we don't decide for them. We should not try to indoctrinate.
El-Toum and Garai created a committee to reform the school curriculum across Sudan, from kindergarten to the sixth grade. Garai told them to remove all verses of the Quran in every school subject that isn't religion. In the previous curriculum developed under Bashir's rule, even subjects like science and math were full of religious language.
Instead of saying that the earth moves around the sun, they said there is day and night because God creates day and night. And then they bring the verse from the Quran.
But the Quran isn't enough to explain basic scientific concepts, says Garai. After a year of revisions, the new school curriculum was launched in 2020. Criticisms quickly followed from all sides, not only from religious conservatives in line with the Bashir regime, but even moderates who had supported the uprising against him. At the sprawling Haj Yusuf Mosque in Khartoum, worshippers young and old wash their feet before prayer. School is out now, but children of all ages are here for their religious education. Sheikh Abdulrahman Hassan Ahmed Hamid is the head of the mosque. Sheikh Hamid says he was harassed and monitored by the Bashir regime for supporting the uprising. He says it's his religious duty to fight all kinds of injustice. But now Hamid is taking issue with some of the changes from the new government in Sudan. He explains how earlier this year, he and other religious leaders and politicians went straight to Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok's office and called on him to fire the education official, Omar Al-Garay. Sheikh Hamad took issue with the creation of Adam Picture and how the new curriculum was dramatically reducing the number of Quranic verses that students had to memorize. To him, the government was making all of these changes without consulting all parts of society, including religious leaders. I spoke with one parent at the mosque, Muhammad Hassan Muhammad, about his concerns. He has three children in school. Muhammad says he supports separating religion from science, math, and other subjects, but he says students should still learn about religion and memorize parts of the Quran. And Garay was making too many changes on that front. Mustafa Abdul Ibrahim, a 20-year-old architecture student, also had mixed opinions about the education reforms. It's good to learn about European history, Ibrahim tells me, because it was largely missing from the old curriculum. But teaching controversial things to kids, he adds, is bad. Even though dozens of educators were behind the new curriculum changes, Omar Al-Garay faced most of the heat. He says he even received death threats.
They just talk about me that this guy, Omar Al-Garay, he's an infidel. He wants to make our children non-Muslims.
As the backlash grew, the prime minister temporarily paused the new curriculum and called for a review. That was a breaking point for Garay. He resigned in protest and had harsh words for the prime minister.
You, as the prime minister, came with the revolution. Instead of being in the line of the revolutionists, you became in the line of the overthrown people. And I will not cooperate with that. So I resigned.
Now the education system is a big mess, and reforms have stalled. Here's Muhammad Hassan Muhammad, the parent again. He says there's been a lot of confusion for parents and schools. Some teachers are still using the new curriculum, but just ripped out the controversial pages. Others have gone back to the old one. For many, it's a disappointing example of the challenges to reform, a loss especially felt by young Christians like Kazan Rahman Kabazi. Kabazi says it wasn't easy being a Christian student in Sudan. He had to memorize Quranic verses in all of his classes, but nothing about his own religion was taught in schools. If Islam is part of the curriculum, he says, Christianity should be too, because Christians are also part of Sudan. Next week, we'll hear more about the experience of Christians and other religious minorities in Sudan since the 2019 revolution. For The World, I'm Halima Gikandi, Khartoum.
Sacred Nation, our ongoing series about religion and nationalism, is funded by the Henry Luce Foundation. Check it out at theworld.org/sacrednation.